Well, hello there, everybody. This is Tahira Monique Brown with another Tahiraisms. Today, my speech is called "The Battle is Over." There are many people out there who just came through a very, very hard time in their life. It could be they just got over cancer or abuse or being greatly depressed or finally growing up, getting the strength to leave home and find your own path in life. And during those times that you were going through this battle that had you caught up in a situation that you felt you have no control over, and you knew that you wanted to make a change and find a new direction in life away from the pain of chemotherapy and the sessions of cancer, or going sitting down in chairs for long hours with kidney dialysis, and or finally you know the time has come for you to let go, set your family free. The doctor has told you that your time is short. I watched my mother pass away from a long, slow, debilitating death. And when I received a call that it was time, I still prepared her room as if she was coming home. I still washed the bed sheets and cleaned everything as clean, as anesthetically clean as possible. And I put my little boss on my hip and headed down to the hospital. And when I got there, they told me to prepare for everything. My mother was so young. I don't think anyone really accepted that it was really time. So you start letting everybody know to come and visit, to come and say their goodbyes. And when they all start getting there, everybody have their own way of saying goodbye. You're the oldest child and you have to start preparing for the funeral and taking care of the little ones and preparing the house for visitors. And you realize that you're not allowed to mourn, because people are shoveling papers at you at the moment that your mother is laying dying. I was there to put my hand on her heartbeat, and while I was sitting there, someone came with a pad for me to sign when her last heartbeat happened. I signed the papers. I watched them tie a little tag on my mom's toe. And then I was shuffled out of the room among the wails of family members crying. And I remember one when my sister walked over and told me, "Why aren't you crying?" Wow. I had cried so much and I had mourned so much while she was sick. I kind of felt a bit of relief that she was not suffering anymore. I think I was pretty much the same way when my stepfather was killed, and a car accident and I was taken up to the hospital, and my mom's ear was severed, and it was sewing her ear back on in the emergency room. And I just remember being asked the same thing: why aren't you crying? Well, while my mother was there, the plans was taking place real quick with the burial of my father, and I'm watching my mother deal with all of that, and where they took my father's body, they told her that they didn't process, they was not going to process his body, because when they took him from the hospital, they thought they had taken a white man away, and only to discover he was not a white man, so we had to find another funeral home to have him transferred to another process area for him to be processed off of Martin Luther King in Atlanta. And that devastated my mother. So, you know, you have to get ready for battle when you're going into battle, and you have to decompress after everything's over. When you make that final decision to say, you know, I'm ready to let go. I've sat at the bedsides of people who decided to let go, and I found a place in my soul where I could accept that with people, and to be able to sit down with them and give them a voice and not let it be about me or about the other loved ones that's gathered around talking about the individual, and they're still there as if they're not there anymore. And to give that individual a voice to be able to give their last battle cry. But then there are the ones that who do live, and they get ready to live life without all of the attachments of the war zone, and to be able to live again and face freedom of life choices again. And as for me, as a survivor, after being in my war and being hospitalized to come out of a coma and then to have to relearn life again, and I can tell you that everyone wasn't nice to me in the hospital, and everyone wasn't nice to me when I was released out of the hospital. You know, as sometimes people don't want you to live, or they're just shocked that you did when they thought you were not going to live, and it gives you an opportunity to have a voice about your own life. And some of those people don't make it easy for you, which I'm appreciative of. More of the people that made it hard for me than the ones that came along to try to make it easier for me. That hard choice made it where I had to face, you know, these trials and do what I had to do to stay afloat, you know. But anyway, I'm trying to find my way back to my recording here. The thing about doing these on your phone is there will be interruptions, and you have to find your way back to what you were working on. But I'm back. You have to reorganize everything in your life, in your mindset to be a survivor, and you have to put down all of your shields and your swords and your everything that you use to try to survive, and start all over again and find some peace in your heart and peace in your soul. And for those that are knowing that today you have to let go, not just let go of the past, but let go of your life. Now is the time to say to someone what your wishes are, and let someone, as best they can, do those and fulfill those desires for you. And for those of you who have come through a storm, who have survived cancer, who have survived tragedy, who have who is on the other side, and you know that you're going to live, don't wallow in the pain and the suffering. One day at a time, start picking up the pieces of life, because God has you here for a reason. He has you here for a service to someone that may be coming behind you that need to see you as a survivor. And what I mean by survivor is, I'm not saying forget about everything that's ever happened to you. I'm not saying, you know, don't remember. I'm just saying you have to know that you are alive and you are here and you are whole. In all the little brokenness, you are whole and you are here. Don't wallow in the sadness and the pain. Find some joy. Sing a song in the mornings when you get up. Look at yourself in the mirror and thank the Lord that you're here. Find someone that's sad and write them a card or write them a letter and tell them how wonderful they are. Remember the ones that you are here for, your children, your family. But you're here more for you, because without loving you, it's hard to give love out there. So find a way through counseling or whatever you have to do to find your way back to you and learn to love you and appreciate the time that you have here. And remember this, that God is a loving God and He is a forgiving God. And he has provided you with everything that you need to be a powerful force in life. So go out today and love a little bit on you. And let go of all those things that are holding you bound to all of the sadness and the suffering. And let God be fulfilling your life for you. And in His word and in His songs and in His caring for you. Know that God loves you. And I know the suffering. I know. I've been there. And sometimes I have moments where I'm in darkness and I'm in sadness. And I have to go back and remind myself what God has brought me through. That He's brought me on the other side. And I want to tell you that. My name is Tierra Monique Brown, and I believe.